Adam, what up, what up?
Man, that was some sweet wait music while we were
right?
waiting in the lobby.
Yeah, isn't it kind of like soothing? Kind of makes you just get in the vibe, makes you kind of like, I don't know, makes me kind of want to take a nap.
So how's that making you get in the vibe if it makes you want to take a nap?
Because it gets me in the take a nap vibe.
You're already boring yourself that much?
No, man. So it's been a long 24 hours. Anyone that tuned into the show last night, we were probably, what would you say, halfway through the show. Then all of a sudden it was like, yeah. So a little backstory. So I'm doing the podcast in my closet. All jokes you want to put, I'm in the closet and I had my headphones in. No idea what's going on. I can't hear anything. So if anyone's watching the show, the lights start flickering. I'm thinking like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe someone, you know, maybe we're just about to go out of electricity. You know, if you have too many things hooked up to an outlet or something, maybe just cuts off your, you know, your electricity. So it flickered and then it went back to normal and then it flickered completely out altogether. And then I opened my door and my wife and my son are like, Dad, it's storming out there. And I, sure enough, it's hella fucking raining outside, excuse my language. And then all of a sudden we just have no electricity. And I want to appreciate you, Adam, for trying to hold down, say, you know, we'll resume this as quickly as possible. Rob's having some technical difficulties with the weather, or, you know, but it took like 3 hours before the electricity come back. So it was not a fun day. For those of you who probably know, my wife is 6 months pregnant. So she's already struggling staying cool. She's already hot. She's already uncomfortable. Let's take air conditioning away and let's see how well that went. So, appreciate those who tuned in last night. And I felt like Ab and I, we shorted you guys a full show. So I was like, Adam, we have to come back this tonight and just give a full show as we intended to last night. So I appreciate you.
You know what, though? That I'm glad that it's somewhere else that's getting the weather and not here, because typically it's here that gets that kind of weather. So I'll take although I would take rain right now. I think we're going on our like sixth or seventh day with triple digit temperatures in a row. So Oklahoma is now the new Phoenix, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah. So it's funny. So we actually, our niece is in town from Phoenix. Sure enough, she comes, she rides into Kansas. She's wearing a hoodie as if like it's winter. I'm like, wait a minute. You just came from Arizona. You're wearing a hoodie. But you know, apparently she's used to it. So it doesn't really affect her as much as it would maybe you and I, but I know that there's 105, 106. That's miserable to me. So I don't want to touch that 119, 120. So not at all. But we appreciate anybody who's tuning in tonight. And again, who tuned in last night, we had a lot of technical difficulty, as I say, due to the weather. Adam, for some reason, couldn't be heard during parts of the show. I couldn't be heard during parts of the show. So we're going to mark that up to the weather. So Mother Nature won last night. But, you know, as they say, they won the battle, but we're going to win the war, that whole thing.
You know, one last comment about the temperatures in Phoenix. They must have gone up with a lot of hot air after KD went there.
maybe. That's a good one. But anyway, we appreciate you chiming in. We're live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitter. We are live on our No BS podcast page. So we give you all these different places to check us out. If you're watching this and you haven't already done so, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to us. Also go to our YouTube channel, Twitter, all that stuff, so that you can catch us live every single week that we come to you.
Rob.
Adam.
X now.
What's up? Oh, damn. See, that's going to get a little against X. Sorry, X. I feel like football, you know, where everybody, that used to be the thing, like on the X Factor. You know, what was it? Dante Hall for the Chiefs. That was, he was called the X Factor.
Or Exhibit.
So, yeah. Or Generation X.
That is the weakest suck it I have ever seen someone do.
How about that?
Not much better, but it's a little better.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm also sitting down. So, anyway. So, Adam, like I said, we kind of went through some of this last night. So we're just going to jump right into it. So, basically Adam and I, we've been talking about, we've been breaking down each conferences, prior to the NFL season. We are now up to the NFC North. So, that's Vikings, Bears, Packers, Lions. So those of you who, chimed in last night, you know, we're going to get into it again tonight. So Adam, I'm going to start the question off with this, buddy. So let me ask you this, Adam. So the Vikings won the division last year. First time that there'd been a division winner that wasn't the Packers. Obviously now Aaron Rodgers is now with the Jets. So let me ask you this, Adam. Is the North for the Vikings to lose? Is this their division to lose?
No, they're not the favorite team to win the division this year. Not by any means. They had a fluke year last year.
Okay, so who's your favorite?
Oh, Detroit Lions all the way. I love Matt Campbell. Love the coach. Quarterback, probably not the strongest quarterback in the conference. Probably, in my opinion, the fourth best. But you don't need a quarterback to win a lot of games and to be relevant. So I like everything about the Lions. Hutchinson's a great player on the defensive end, coming off a good rookie season. I mean, I just think the Lions caught momentum last year at the end of the year, and I think that continues into this year. And I think that they beat KC on banner night to open the season in Kansas City.
Really? You're calling it now. You're calling week one upset Lions over the Chiefs. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I might disagree with you on that one, buddy. They are not going to win week one. And they're not going to win the division this year. They're just not. Well, let's compare the quarterbacks. Okay, yeah, you know, Kirk Cousins has his knocks on him. You know, he's been called a quarterback that can't win the big game, especially those primetime games. He has won a couple primetime games in the last few years, though, and he did come in clutch and led them to a division title last year. Not only that, but he got them to come back from the largest comeback in NFL history against Indianapolis Colts. I understand. Yes, Adam, I know what you're probably thinking against who was the quarterback. Yeah, it was Matt Ryan. But again, Matt Ryan can't play defense. He only plays offense.
At least it wasn't in the playoffs. And at least it wasn't in the Super Bowl.
I mean, that's true. But in my opinion, a loss is a loss, you know.
So 20, it doesn't matter. Let's just throw a random score out there. A 28-3 halftime lead. And to lose the game in the Super Bowl is just a loss.
Okay, and then for all of our Chiefs fan watching, what happened to, 24-3 against the Bengals, and they came back and blew that. So is that any more worse that it happened in the wild card game or in the title game compared to the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Like, a lot of people are coming
absolutely
at me saying, well,
it's for the championship.
That blows my mind, Adam. That makes no sense to me. So you're telling me you rather lose and not get to the Super Bowl than go to the Super Bowl? And
look, yeah. That makes no sense to me. If you're going to the Super Bowl, you want to win. What? No.
Yeah, but if you go to the conference championship, you want to win.
Yeah, but you don't want to win that game and then go into the last game to win a championship, to raise a banner, to hold the Lombardi Trophy, to go to Disney World afterwards, to lose. Come on.
I understand that, but you also don't, no matter what playing field do you go on, no matter what type of game, you don't ever want to go up and blow a lead like that, no matter what.
Not unless you're betting on the game.
Unless you're betting on the game. So if you're one of those people that try to come at me, well, you know, the Chiefs loss to the Bengals 24-3 is not as bad as the Falcons. It's absolutely on the same level. It absolutely is. Because a blown lead is a blown lead. Not only that, but it's actually worse if you ask me, the fact that, you know, you have the Chiefs, the dominant-ass Chiefs, the Patrick Mahomes that everybody was like, oh, he's the GOAT, the Hall of Famer. And even though I think Matt Ryan's a Hall of Famer, but that's just me. So, but people would agree that Matt Ryan and Patrick Mahomes were never on the same level ever at any part of their career. So you can make the case that the one against the Chiefs was actually way worse.
Who won MVP that year?
That's just me. Well, the year that he did it, yeah. Matt Ryan, and didn't Patrick Mahomes win the MVP that same year?
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, right?
No,
Aaron Rodgers won MVP 2 years that ago. Year? Okay. But still, the point is that Mahomes is a way better quarterback than Matt Ryan. And for me, if we're comparing the two, I think if to me, and again, I'm on the record, I think they're both equally
if as this bad. Wasn't your team, but if you're disagree. Gonna make
I don't know, it's hard to say, but I just think it's funny when Chiefs fans specifically come at me talking about, oh, you know, 28-3. And then, like, if you look up in the top five playoff worst comebacks of all time, the Chiefs are in there twice. And the Falcons are in there one time.
So you know the other game?
When they blew the big lead against the Colts.
Okay, how many starters got injured in the first half in that game, including their quarterback?
Don't come at me with that. It don't matter. Oh. I'm just saying the record is what it is. Right. So anyway, we're getting off topic.
Were you out in the heat for a long time today?
No, I wasn't actually. I was not actually.
Maybe you should go out.
But anyway, for a little bit. The big get back on track here. We were talking about the bike. You know, Kirk Cousins has shown he can win the primetime game. Jared Goff, I mean, yeah, you came at me last night talking about, well, who led the Rams to the Super Bowl? And you're
no,
right.
That's not, hold coattails. On. No, that's not what I said. I said, that's, no, that it's not. I said that he was, I said he, the quarterback was not the reason the Rams made the Super Bowl. It's not, that's exactly what I said.
Okay. Well, I misheard never, you. The never, point is I thought you came
never
at me.
Never did with, I say that Goff was the reason they made the Super Bowl. Fucking Aaron Donald.
No, I didn't say I didn't say that you said they led him, but you said he at least got
he to did get to the Super Bowl.
And then I said that it wasn't
right.
Because
we agreed
of him.
On that because we both said that it was Sean McVay.
Okay. All right.
See now you slept for a night, you're okay. Trying to mix up what I said. When it comes to this identity memory,
you know what?
Mofo.
All right. My bad. But anyway, as I was saying, I absolutely think it's the Vikings to lose. I mean, they had the better quarterback.
Okay, I agree.
They had the better weapon. Okay? They had the better quarterback. You know, say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than Jared Goff. And then if we're comparing, you know, and this is going to be another debate, and I don't want you to get into this, but I'm just going to go down the quarterbacks down the league in this division. So I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than yep. Jared Goff, right? Okay, we agree with that. Now, I wouldn't completely go with Kirk Cousins over nope. Justin Fields because obviously in the way the game is structured today, I'd rather have a Justin Fields. I've always been a dual core quarterback fan. That's why I'm a huge Michael Vick fan, why I'm a huge Falcons fan. I love that time. And that's obviously where the game is transitioned. You got to be a dual quarterback, be able to get outside the pocket. So for that sense, I'd want Kirk Cousins as far as his arm. I feel like his arm strength, his arm accuracy is better than Justin Fields. So for that reason, I would only choose him for that reason only. And then obviously Jordan Love, question mark. He's only been on the field like twice. This is going to be the first time we get a full season under him. So I don't know what I'm getting out of Jordan Love. So for that reason, by default, I got to go Kirk Cousins.
What kind of quarterback is Jordan Love?
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know. I didn't watch him personally.
Okay, so you can't agree that based off of the little bit that – because you saw him play against the Chiefs probably. You watched part of that game.
And he didn't play very well against the Chiefs. The Chiefs did not play their best game, and yet the Packers could not capitalize on – because that was when the Chiefs were struggling. That's when the Chiefs were struggling to score points. And they still and they were still struggling that game, and Jordan Love couldn't win that game.
Let me educate you. He's a dual threat quarterback.
Okay. And I didn't get a chance to watch it.
He went to Utah. No, not Utah. Utah State, I believe.
Okay.
It's either Utah State or Nevada. I can't remember which
one. I think it was Nevada. State. Anyone that's watching, they can fact check us. That'd be great. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I did not watch one Jordan Love game in college. So I'm going to go by what do they say? The tape. The tape doesn't lie. And the fact is we don't have a lot of tape on Jordan Love. So by default, I have to go Kirk Cousins.
So
weapons-wise.
I just want to put out there that was right, Utah State.
Oh, good job. Adam is our resident college football guy. He watches a little bit more college football than I do nowadays. So you could have thrown out some team and I would be like, oh, okay, cool.
If I would have said my former favorite team, you would have
except if you would have thrown out Missouri, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Or yeah, Syracuse.
And you could have said Syracuse. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. anyway, so because we don't have the lack of tape, I got to go Kirk Cousins. So for that, they got the best, and I know we disagreed on this last night, they got the best wide receiver in the game in Justin Jefferson. I know you said Jamar Chase. I'm not going to argue with that on you because if I want to start my franchise, you can't go wrong with either one. So I got to go Kirk Cousins. And this is absolutely, in my opinion, out of all the teams in the division right now, I think they're the one that had the least amount of questions about their team. So I'm going to go with this absolutely is the Vikings. Absolutely the Vikings division to lose.
So. No, they're going to take a step back.
Okay, what's your definition of a step back? Like not make the playoffs or what?
They don't win double-digit games this year.
Okay.
And they are either the sixth or seventh seed in the NFC
okay, playoffs. Okay, over under 8.5 wins.
Over.
I'm going over. They're going to win 10 games this year.
I think they're going to win 8-9. I think that's the window.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Let's get into the next question about the division. So we talked about Justin Fields. Let me ask you this, and this is why I didn't want to debate. So Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the division, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Said that last night. He showed me enough in the games that he played in to tell me that he's the guy there. They have their quarterback now, right? Would you agree?
Agree. Okay. So I wanted Justin Fields for my team, so I love him.
Right. But if he would have went there, he probably wouldn't have had the career he's going to have in Chicago. Anyway. Okay.
You can make the case that Atlanta has more weapons than Chicago even now still has.
Disagree. Equal.
So I got to take this in consideration because there would have been no way to get Justin Fields and Kyle Pitts. So for that reason, I got to take that in account.
Okay. So they go out and they get DJ Moore.
Okay.
They get Claypool from the Steelers.
Which you're not high on.
No, I wasn't high on him with the Steelers.
Okay.
Because, with the Steelers, it's always I love Antonio Brown, but it's always the guys that have the egos in Pittsburgh don't pan out because that's not an ego team. It's a team. You know what
Would
I mean?
Would you say Juju was an egocentric guy too?
No, he was injured. He just had too many injuries and they gave
but
up.
But he had the controversy of always being Mr. TikTok dancing in the middle of people's
Yeah, he danced in the middle of the Dallas, the star in Dallas. And I mean, he did all TikTok
the teams.
Stuff.
He did all the teams.
Okay, but he also didn't.
Is that not egocentric? Is that not having a little bit of.
Would you not do something like that?
I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe if I had the fan base, probably. I don't know.
I guess that's a question for a later debate. But I think that back to Claypool not working out the Steelers, I just don't think he had like a stretch of like four good games his rookie year. And then they fully depended on him to make a huge step that he wasn't going to make there. So I think it's a better situation for him in Chicago. He's not the guy. DJ Moore's the guy. St. Brown's brother is probably the second guy. So he's the third option right now. So he has something to prove. So I think that helps him out tremendously. But they have weapons there now is what's more important. They went out and got I think they drafted a running back last year. So rookie running back another year under his belt because they got rid of guy's name that we were talking about last night that went to the Lions from them.
Swift?
I think what?
Swift?
No, Swift was already on the Lions. David Montgomery.
Oh, yeah, from the Bears. Right.
But I think that Justin Fields has another year under an offensive coordinator. All these guys, you're right to the point you made about Jordan Love. They don't have tape on them, so you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's a benefit. Sometimes it's a disadvantage or a nightmare. But I think
I'd say Patrick Mahomes kind of had a bit of an advantage coming out. People didn't really have much tape at him. And then there was a little bit of a kind of step back a little bit, not like extreme, but there was a little, you know, a little bit of a back on the second season.
Yeah, but didn't they change offensive coordinators in Kansas City? Like after his first season where he played, like actually played significant minutes?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure. I'll be honest with you.
Anyway, I'm drawn away from the question you asked. No, he's definitely the best quarterback. He's got the NFL build. I also like dual threat quarterbacks. I mean, as bad as it is to say, Kyler Murray is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think that division hasn't seen dual threat quarterbacks very much. Can you agree with that? It's more the traditional quarterbacks. You have Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford when he's with the Lions, Kirk Cousins. He's not a out of the pocket quarterback guy. Then you go back a little further, Brett Favre. You got the last real dual threat quarterback for a team in that division is probably Randall Cunningham when he played for the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, what about would you say Donovan McNabb was kind of dual?
He didn't play for any of those teams. He was the Eagles.
No, Donovan McNabb, didn't he play for the – no, sorry. I'm thinking of someone else. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Dante Culpepper. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's who I'm talking. Sorry. I said Randall Cunningham. Dante Culpepper was who I was thinking
of. Yeah.
For the Vikings. Randall Cunningham was a wide receiver for that team. But I don't think that division.
Randall Cunningham was a quarterback.
So I was right.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that division is going to see multiple dual threat quarterbacks because I think Jordan Love is also a dual threat quarterback. I think that's the way you said it. You know, it's a trend in the NFL, and that's what it's going towards. Another year, probably got stronger in the offseason, probably retrained his body to get hit a little bit better. They probably tweaked the offensive line a little bit. I think he's the best quarterback in the division walking in right now. Kirk Cousins had it. I mean, the dude can sling the ball, and that's why his interception number is so high every year. But I don't like that style of play personally. I like the mobile athletic quarterbacks. So that's why I think Anthony Richardson is going to be the MVP for the rookies this year. But right. Yeah, I think Washington is the best quarterback in the division for sure.
Okay. And I think it's going to be Robinson, Offensive Rookie of the Year for my Atlanta Falcons. So anyway, so I'll give you. So
you could put me in as a rookie for the Falcons, and you would think I'm going to be Rookie of the Year.
All right, man. I'm going to need you to keep my team at your mouth, man. Because that's level of disrespect. Anyway, so in one hand, I completely agree with you. I mean, Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the league. But in one hand, I can make the case for Kirk Cousins in a sense that he's won a playoff game. Justin Fields has yet to do that. Justin Fields has not had a winning season since he's been in Chicago.
He's played Minnesota. 1 year. How can you hold that against him? He's played 1 year.
I'm just saying. So far.
1 year.
Okay. All I'm saying is that he has yet to win a playoff game.
He's played. The Bears, oh, God.
He has yet to win a playoff game, Adam.
How many years has Kirk Cousins played, and for how many teams has he played for?
That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have success.
But you're holding a statistic that is not fair to a player.
But we've seen quarterbacks come in the first year and win playoff games. I mean, what, Patrick Mahomes within his what first year won a playoff game, right? As a starter, won a playoff game.
Second season.
I said as a starter, like immediate starter. Like the first year he sat behind Alex Smith, but the first year as an official starter, he did get to the playoffs. So it doesn't matter whether it's his first year, second, whatever the case may be. We've seen quarterbacks come in immediately and make an immediate impact and make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. Another example, Joe Burrow, his first year of actual non-injuries, they went to the Super Bowl. So don't tell me that just because he's only got 1 year, not hold it against him when you have people, those two players get to a playoff or even the Super Bowl, their first full year as a starter. So I'm not gonna accept that as an answer, Adam.
They didn't go to the Super Bowl his first full year as a starter, even who? Because he hurt his knee the first year. The second year,
is it his fourth year?
I'm generally asking.
Huh?
Is this his fourth or fifth season that we're going into?
Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow? Yeah. So his first year, he got knocked out midseason.
Right.
So then this, right. Second year, or his first full year, they got back to the AFC title game. They lost to the Chiefs. So now this is going to be his fourth year, right? So, but what I'm saying is first full year starter, you know, he made it to the Super Bowl. So I don't care who you are. You can, there's been clear examples that you can do immediate impact. So,
you know, another guy that his first full year starter went to the Super Bowl and actually won it.
I probably think
Pittsburgh.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger? No? Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
See? So I'm just saying.
His first full year as a starter without injuries, which was his second year in the league.
I remember like it was yesterday. Didn't they start off like 11-0, 12-0 or something like that?
No, they didn't win the AFC. Like, they weren't the top seed in the AFC that year. I think they had won their division, but they were like the 3 or 4. Because they had some ridiculous plays that helped them win games. And the Super Bowl, Roethlisberger reached out for a touchdown against the Seahawks. And then I want to say Jerome Bettis, that was his last year. I think he had like a decent game. But anyway, I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's 1 year. You can't.
No, I get it. I mean, but we have to put it in contents. Obviously, some quarterbacks are blessed to get put in a situation where they can succeed faster than others. Obviously, Justin Fields didn't have the weapons immediately coming in as a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes or a Ben Roethlisberger. So, yeah, I got to take that into account, and I realize that. All I was just trying to say is make my case. It has been done, so I can't fully say that that's an excuse. But again, until you make a playoff, until you win a playoff game, I mean, I have to give a slight edge to Kirk Cousins. But if I'm picking a quarterback right now, I'm clearly going with Justin Fields. It's not even a competition. It's just not. But he would be my second out of all those quarterbacks in the league right now. Let me ask you this next question. So staying with the division, Lions, you're obviously a big favorite. You pretty much answered this question anyway, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The Lions will make the playoffs this year.
Yes.
Okay. And you talked about it last night, but remind me, how many wins are they winning? And are they gonna get an automatic bid by division? Or are you going to get a wild card? What is it?
They're winning that division, and they're winning 11 games this year.
Okay. How confident are you in that? Would you be willing to bet like a $20 wager?
30.
Oh, he upped it. Okay. All right. So you said 11 wins, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna go 9 games. I think that the injury to Gardner from the Eagles, that's gonna be a big loss. Like I said, I'm not completely sold on Jared Goff until you do it 2 seasons. One season is an outlier, and I feel the same way. And we're going to talk about that next week. Whenever we talk about NFC West, right? So I have a little bit to say about that with Geno Smith as well. So I'm going to be consistent here, but I need to see it 2 years in a row. So I'm not completely sold on Jared Goff. Yeah, they did go to the Super Bowl. It was not because of him. It was the most boring Super Bowl in the world. I mean, I got to say, I was impressed by him. I will. I got to admit that, but I'm not sold on him yet. So for that reason alone, I mean, you already talked about Hutchinson. I mean, their defense is a beast. You know, I love that. I like their weapons. They're not as good as the weapons, say, in Minnesota. I do think they're going to make the playoffs, but not 10 wins. They're going to be 9 wins.
Is Goff a bust as a number one pick?
Oh, absolutely. 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 He did not. I agree with that. He got that payday off of the Super Bowl, and that's it. And up until last year, where they actually saw some turn, you know, some for their money, most Lion fans, I'm sure, were ready to give up on him and ready to just tank and get a quarterback. Now they're going to give him, you know, they're going to give him a little bit of love.
They got younger. They got younger at the quarterback position with Matt Stafford, who's like 38, 37 right now. So you have someone in their mid to upper 20s. So you get younger there. You get him in a situation where he has an opportunity to actually be like a leader in the locker room on that team. Because in L.A., who's the leader of that locker room? It's Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald. Yep. So Jalen Ramsey, probably even after him.
Well, he's in Miami now, but yeah.
Well, I mean, at the time, though, right?
Yeah, I'd even go out as far as say as Odell Beckham was a leader in that locker room while he was there.
Or he was on this. He was there when what's his face was there? Todd Gurley, right? So even Todd Gurley was probably the leader even more him than at that time.
Gurley wasn't on that Super Bowl team. He had already.
No, I know, but I'm talking about their earlier stages. I'm talking about. My point is, I don't think he was ever the leader on the squad, even when Todd Gurley was there. That's all I was trying to say.
You would bring up a Georgia Bulldog. That's okay, though.
You mean the two-time defending champions? Georgia Bulldog, those Bulldogs? Yeah, those Bulldogs. Okay.
They're not three-peating, so it doesn't matter.
What do you say?
They're not three-peating.
I mean, I didn't say they were, but and I'm talking about some of my friends out there, like let's see, Breton. I don't think it was Breton. There's a couple of people there. Cedric. Cedric, bro, if you're watching this, you're the one that gave me all this shit all these couple years about Roll Tide, roll. Can't beat Bama. Well, we beat Bama the last 2 years, so, you know, let's go.
The SEC is hard.
Huh?
Did you just give him the horns?
No, I was just like, let's go. Let's go.
Okay. Well, you know, here, I got to go horns down, right?
Right. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
But go Dogs, and we're going to roll Alabama again this year. Anyway, so not to get back on, topic. So,
the Lions. But the quarterback does not have to win them games. That's my whole point with the Lions.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys obviously won despite Dak. So, we see that. So, you're right. You're absolutely. And then Peyton Manning, the Broncos won the Super Bowl despite it wasn't because of Peyton Manning.
No, absolutely not. They had one of the best defenses in a Super Bowl in years.
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right. I mean, quarterbacks can ride the coattail of their defense or whoever the case may be. Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. So here's my last question about the division, Adam. The Packers will be better without Rodgers this year.
Not this year.
Not this year. So
what? Long term, yes, but not this year.
So when you say long term, so obviously Rodgers delivered a Super Bowl. Are you saying Love is capable of doing that?
Yes.
Really? Okay. You're that high on Jordan Love?
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I can see the Packers winning a Super Bowl. I mean, they always do what they need to do to get players there. They're never going to be a bottom team in a division for that long. That's not how the Packers do things. So, I can see them making a Super Bowl at some point in time. Not next year. Not the year after.
I'm just saying, like, if you're saying long term, so that means I'm not saying he's as good as Aaron Rodgers, but you're in a way I'm kind of feeling like they're going to be at some point a little bit on the same level, and I just don't see that.
I think the upside is very high for Jordan Love.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, obviously he's got the athleticism. He's a dual threat quarterback. Like, as we already mentioned, that's where the game is going. So obviously you have all this, you know, all the athleticism and all the ways to be successful. I will agree with that. Not only that, but let's be honest with you. If we're going by past year's performances, the NFC North has never been really the most overpowering division in football. So as long as you win your division, you have a chance to make the playoffs, which means you have a chance to win the championship. And then obviously, I'm a big fan of the coach. Spacing on his name right now. Matt LaFleur. Right, I always think of Dodgeball, LaFleur.
Peter LaFleur,
which I like that name. I think he has one of the coolest names as far as head coaches.
I think honestly, I think he should have been fired.
Think so?
Yep. He has done
What was it for you? Are you talking about the? For me, are you talking about the one where he kicked the field goal instead of going for it?
There's been multiple instances he had that. And then in that game, wasn't it went to overtime, they lost the onside kick, They fumbled it and they lost the game. Pretty sure that was against the 49ers. Then you go up against the year before, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Year before that, they played the 49ers in Green Bay with it snowing. 49ers are a warm weather team with it snowing. Yeah. And couldn't get the job done based off of his coaching decisions.
But how much blame, and this is what it's always blown my mind when it comes to coaches getting fired. Obviously, it's obviously up to the coaches to get a team prepared. But a coach can't control how a player plays. And Aaron Rodgers played like garbage. So how is that a coach's fault if your players are just not have it for that particular day?
Because his game plan was garbage.
Okay. I'm not saying you're not wrong, but I just think the coaches get too much of the blame.
You have Aaron Dillon and AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. You run the football. It is snowing out. You run the football. That opens up the game. It's football 101. It opens up the pass game. But when it snows out, you run the football, and you have two guys that can run the football. It's the best 1-2 combination in the NFL right now still.
Okay.
Coaching, no, I mean – he in big games he crumbles. He's done it multiple times.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I disagree with you completely. I agree with you. Sorry, completely. I just think that the coaches sometimes, you know, because obviously when it comes down to franchise quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, when it comes to when shit hits the fan, it's not the quarterback that's going to take the fall. It's going to be the coaches, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, you know, what the case may be. Even though it's just like flat out. The quarterback themselves didn't have themselves prepared, because I could deliver the best game plan for you forever, Adam. But if you just don't have it that day, why is that my fault?
That's never my problem.
I mean, okay, maybe not for you, Adam, but you know, so, you know, if I'm your boss I know you're in the position of a boss, but let's say, you know, Adam, you know, I set you up with Adam, if for those of you don't know, UPS driver, he's a retired driver, you know, so, but every once in a while he talks about putting it back on and unretire. But like, let's say Adam, I give you this bet, like, Adam, here's your route. Here's shortcuts to, you know, here's all the times to deliver all your packages. And let's just say, Adam, you're still just late. What if you're just half-assing it, you know, just like, fuck it, I don't feel like delivering packages today. And then all of a sudden I lose my job because you're getting customers bitching at me. Like, why didn't I get my package on time? I'm the one that's going to take the fall. Even though, Adam, you were the one that didn't do your job in delivering the packages in a timely manner.
No, I'd figure out a way to be a better coach and to be a better leader in that position. Okay. Because I failed at some point. Maybe not failed, but I let my employees down. So I need to figure out how to regroup and bring that back up.
Sure.
But
I agree with you.
Before we go on too much further, we do have some comments from your boy Luke. He's not as ridiculous tonight, but I want to read these because he's been posting quite a few. He started off by saying Sacktown 2023-2024 champs. He's wrong about that. Goff is the best QB in the division. That's two things he's wrong about. What about the Rams QB that won in 2001? Kurt Warner wasn't a rookie at that point. I think he had already played two seasons, if I'm correct, because I think he started in 99. And then Green Bay is going to suck this year. I agree with you on that one. So we're 1-4. It's a good start, Luke. Good start. Appreciate and you haven't dogged any of my players yet, so appreciate it.
Appreciate you chiming in, son.
But, okay, so Packers, how many wins?
I'm going to say 7. I'll say 7. You're going to say 5?
Worst team in the division.
Okay. So how many of those wins are in the division, though?
I'm going to go 3.
Okay. So then they're going to win. Then they're going to – wow. So they're only going to win 2 games outside the division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to pull up their schedule, and I'm going to have to hit you up individually – at some point when I look at the schedule, and I'm going to need you to tell me where these wins and losses are.
Okay.
But let me just ask you this.
We haven't looked at the schedules yet, but at the same point.
And so let me ask you this, Adam. So based on who we do know who they're playing at least the 3 other teams twice. What are the records against the other 3 teams?
1-2. Or 1-1, I'm sorry. 1-1 for each of them.
Okay. So they're going to beat each team at least once.
they play in Green Bay, that's an automatic win for at least one of those three games. Don't really care if they're going to play in cold weather. Vikings playing a dome. The Lions playing a dome. Bears are a cold weather team, but they're still up and coming. They'll trip up at some point and lose a game like that. I think that they win five, maybe six games.
Okay. All right, so real quick to wrap up this preview of the NFC North, give me your final standings, 1-4, 4-1.
With their records or just like where they finish?
Where they finish.
Green Bay, number four. Vikings are going to be third. Chicago, second. And the Lions, first.
All right. I'm going to go 1-4. I'm going to go Vikings, one. I'm going to go Lions, two. I'm going to go Packers, third. Bears, fourth. I just think even despite, he's got all these reloaded options now with DJ Moore, I just think that maybe that first year there's not going to be that chemistry. I just think it may take Justin Fields a little bit to get out of that running first mentality like he's had the last few years. So it's going to maybe take some a little of adjustment. I think it's going to be maybe year two that they're better off together. So I think they're going to win more games than they did last year, but I still think they finished last in the NFC North. So that's where I stand. So anything else you want to touch on?
You have two playoff teams from this division?
Yeah, I'm going to go Vikings, Lions, and the only playoff team.
Okay. So out of the Vikings and Lions, do either one of them win a playoff game?
That's a great question. Yes, and I think it's going to be the Vikings.
I'm going to go the other way and go Lions.
Okay. If you're watching this, give us chime in. We want to know what you want to think other than just my my son. And here's another thing you're going to disagree with.
I already know.
Westbrook. So what do they say, Adam? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And so, he kind of similar thoughts on that with me. So, anyway, all right. So let's – I want to stay with the NFL real quick, Adam. So I think it's no secret, Adam. You and I are definitely don't think the highest of the Colts owner, Jim Irsay. Would we agree?
My favorite Jim Irsay moment is when he's on the episode of Parks and Rec. Everything else, I think he's trash.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I do remember that.
Good. One of the best episodes of that series, by the way, that revolving bachelor party that they're having.
Yes. And then Andy gets married in a Colts jersey.
And a signed Reggie Wayne jersey.
Signed Reggie Wayne. And even Andrew Luck is in that episode.
Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne, Jim Irsay, and there's like one or two other players. And at the end of it, Andy kicks like a 30-yard field goal. So Chris Pratt, I guess, could be an NFL kicker.
Yeah, and then remember what's one of them was hitting on what's her name? Asked out one of the main characters, and she was like, please, I don't date defensive players or something like that.
Talking about Donna?
Donna, yeah, treat yourself. I'm going to have to go back and watch that show. And by the way, we talked about this, Adam, I'm still down for Office trivia.
You're going to lose, buddy. You're going to lose.
Yeah. And just to show you how confident I was, Adam, I went after the show because I had all this time in the world with no electricity. I was actually taking what's called the ultimate Office trivia. I only got two wrong. And to be fair, the two wrong that I got, the two that I got wrong were kind of trick questions. They were worded in a weird way that if they were worded it differently, I would have known it.
Send me the quiz that you took.
All right, I will. Remind me to do that. But anyway, so
I bet I miss less than you, and I probably get 100%.
But we still need to do a live one, but I will still send that to
Bring
you.
Bring it on.
Anyway. So Jim Irsay, we could both – other than now – well, Dan Snyder's out. Now he's probably taking Dan Snyder's position as worst GM in football or owner in football, right?
Oh, he's definitely up there. He's number one.
For sure. He's had two questionable comments.
Gary Jones is close too, though, so.
Yeah, but that's more of an annoyance than it is that he just says stupid shit. I mean, I guess he does say stupid shit every now and then again, but not to the level of Jim Irsay. So he's in the comments for two times the last few weeks. First off, obviously there's been the whole running back situation, and I'm going to ask you about that here in a little bit. basically, you know, for those of you who don't know, a lot of controversy with the running backs right now. A little undervalued, underpaid. Jim Irsay came out and said that that by them doing this, that they're negotiating in bad faith, you know, pretty much trashed the running back position. And then more recently, so then Jonathan Taylor, their star running back, came out, declared that, or came out, requested a trade. Then he had a very weird comment following that, said, if I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor is out the league, no one is going to miss us. The league goes on. And I'm thinking, like, here's an easy question. Obviously, Jim Irsay was out of bounds with those comments, right?
Sounds like he's back on the bottle.
Right. When I heard it, so I saw the interview on YouTube, but first when I heard it, like, working at work, I was like, it sounded like a little bit he was slurring his words a bit or something like that. That maybe he is back on the bottle a little bit, as you just said. But clearly he's out of bounds with these comments, right?
Yeah, when isn't he out of bounds with what he's saying? He's the leading rusher from 2 years ago, the face of the team right now, and you're gonna trash him because he's being outspoken about how running backs aren't being paid properly. Dude, right. Shut the fuck up. Like, seriously, I'm sorry. He's an idiot. Like, ever since Andrew Luck left, he's really fallen off the wagon and retired. And it really goes to show how much Andrew Luck meant to that organization.
I was thinking about that actually today while I was at work. I was like, I still remember where I was at the moment that I got that ESPN breaking news that Andrew Luck was retiring. And I was like, that can't be right. Are you serious? Like, you know, he's the prime of his career, not even in his prime, you know, and he was at that point. I mean, he was arguably in that discussion of, like, top 10 quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, he was top 10. He was probably close to top 10.
Yeah, you know, he was one of the highly recruited, highly evaluated quarterbacks of all time. And then for him to just play, what, 5 seasons? And he's like, I'm done. You know, it blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, they did a story about him. It was actually pretty good.
I'll have to check that out. And I understand the reason why he retired, because obviously the quarterback is a very dangerous position. He wants to make sure, obviously, with all this, you know, all these brain, you know,
CTE, yeah.
You know, he wanted to get out while he still had his mind. And who could blame him, especially when, you know, either he had a family or wanted to start a family, you know, he wants to be there. So I can't blame him. But anyway, so back on track, though. So, so based on those comments that Jim Irsay said, do you see any scenario where Jonathan Taylor is a Colt next year?
Nope. Okay. No, because Irsay is trying to say that he has an off the football field back injury without, like, ever anyone ever hearing about anything with that. That doesn't happen. He's talking about sitting out the season.
It reminds me of the Mariota situation, the quarterback quarterback Netflix, where they talk about Mariota just had surgery on an injury we had no idea he had, that even it was injured with. Like, what? But
yeah, he's not there next year.
Okay, so let me ask you. Okay, and I agree that he's not going to be there. So what? Is there a team that you would like to see him play for? And then also, what's it going to cost the Colts to get rid? Like, are they going to want, like, a first, two firsts? You know, what's it going to take?
Well, they've already shown what they think the value is of the running back position, so they can't really ask for that much, can they?
Yeah, they kind of hurt their own value. You're right.
So I'd love to see him in Pittsburgh. I think trading him for Harris would be good, but I like Harris too. More realistically, though, I could see him going to, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I can see him going to the Jets with the Josh Jacobs situation in Vegas. I could see him going to the Raiders. More realistically, though, I'm going to throw out there that he goes to – then you're putting me on the spot here, but I'm going to say he stays in division and goes to the Texans.
There's no way that he's going to trade to a team within his division. Like, he's not that stupid.
I bet he goes to the Texans. And for those of you that don't know, I've had one major prediction that was 100% right going back to the Super Bowl. But
it was a major prediction you got right. But I can't remember a situation where, and maybe you can remind me, the last time in any sport that a team traded a player within a division. I just can't think of one. And I don't understand why this would be the case. Okay, so let's talk about that. So, well, first of all, you said a division. The Texans are not in there. Oh, wait, they're in the division. So let's say division. So who else is in the division? We have Jaguars. It won't go Jaguars. Because they don't need Tennessee. They have Henry. So I don't. That's not going to happen. I mean, I guess when you're talking about other teams, that's the one of that division makes the most sense. But Irsay's not that, unless he's drinking at the time, he's not going to agree to an in division trade. But maybe he's obviously made a lot of questionable decisions in the past.
I feel like you got me stumped with players that were traded in division, but I'm going to think of one before the end of the episode that's a big name. So, because I know it's happened before.
I'm sure it has, but I can't think of one. I really can't, because I think that's just stupid. Because if that's your superstar, why would you trade him to this within a team, the same where you're going to have to see him, you know, several times, you know, football twice a year? If it's NBA, what? 10 plus times a year, you know, why on earth would I put you into the same division? But you know, who knows? So let me ask you this, Adam. So we're talking about this. There's been a lot of questions about this. Is the running back position undervalued, underpaid?
Undervalued? No, I don't think so. Because I mean, the argument for this whole deal is that the shelf life of running back is what, 3 years?
Right.
Of course, there's an anomaly every once in a while.
Like a Derrick Henry. Like, that's an anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Peterson, you know.
But let's look back more recently. So you had Todd Gurley got paid. He had one good year on that contract. Then he started getting hurt. Then you had it's just on the top of my head. Then you had Zeke. Zeke maybe lived up to maybe one year of that contract, and he's declined.
As much as I hate to say it, because he's my other guy from Pittsburgh.
Le'Veon Bell
kind of did the same thing, but that was more him up here than it was his ability on the field.
Seems to be a lot of things that in the water in Pittsburgh. Your boy AB.
No, okay, no, stop.
A lot of here.
They should have paid. No, they screwed up by not paying Le'Veon Bell. He did everything right. Okay. They fucked up by not paying him.
Okay, for that sense, you're right. But what I'm saying is, if we're talking about up here, there's a lot of that and a lot of that going on in AB. But you're right. Le'Veon Bell is a perfect example, and that's a guy who bet on himself and obviously did not work out. He eventually got traded to the Jets, and then he was just now. Is he even in the league anymore?
No, he's not. He's doing that. He's doing some boxing stuff in the Jake Paul, like whatever promotion that is.
Mm. Yeah, I see him on Snapchat every now and again on his stories. But I mean that doesn't help.
He's putting out bad rap music too. So sorry, Le'Veon. Love you as a player, but you are not a good rapper, my friend.
Yeah, Antonio Brown needs to hear that same criticism because he's terrible too. Again, we can only agree the only true great rap athlete is Dame Dala. Right?
Right now, yeah. Well, J. Cole.
I mean, J. Cole was a professional athlete, though.
He made a summer league team for the Pistons.
I guess, and he played professionally
in Nigeria.
Okay, and he's on 2K, and he's got his own cover, so I guess he made it, right?
I mean, he still got a tryout with an NBA team. You and I can't say we ever had that. True.
That's fair. But anyway, so as I was saying, obviously, when you look at those contracts, it doesn't help their argument. And then you have even the players who, I mean, even more recently, I mean, yeah, Saquon's fighting for a contract, but yeah, he got injured.
They paid him. He got paid with a 1 year nice contract.
Yeah, but let's be honestly, there's not anything. I mean, there's no security. Well, we're gonna be right back here next year with this whole Saquon thing. So there's no long term future security in that. The only running back that comes to mind that have actually worthy of their Derrick Henry and like a Christian McCaffrey. We'll see. I mean, I got to be honest, obviously the Falcons went their first pick. They went with Robinson out of Texas. I've been on record. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Many times you guys say that in this episode.
Well, I'm just saying it's related to what we have to talk about.
Oh, rookie of the year because he played
for
the Falcons. Oh, my gosh.
No, but he is an explosive running back. But to me, like, I think we could have addressed better needs than going running backs based on also in our conversation, the shelf life. And so for that reason, I don't like
the end of the day, they deserve to get paid like every other player does. They're putting their body out there and they get hit every time they touch the ball, they get hit.
Not only that, but they're one of the positions. Wide receivers also. They even whenever they're not getting the ball directly, they're still responsible for, blocking the or protecting the quarterback in some way or another. So they're valuable in that aspect as well.
You give the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line to the Seahawks from the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And if the Falcons would have gave the ball to Freeman in the Super Bowl just to get 2 yards or whatever to get that first down, that's the game. Obviously, that has nothing to do with Freeman, but it has everything to do with coaching. So absolutely, they are definitely underrated a bit and underpaid. Here's an idea that I want to see what your – would you – I've seen this idea thrown out a few times. I want to tell me what your thoughts are. There's two things that have been thrown out. There's two. I've heard the idea of allowing running backs to test free agency earlier than everybody else. Do you like that? And then second of all, obviously in college football, you have to stay at least 3 years. Because of the short lifespan of a running back, would you like it if they changed the rule where running backs can come out a year earlier?
I don't like either of those really, because then it's unfair to every other collegiate athlete that's trying to make a career and a name for themselves. And I don't think that it's fair in the NFL to give them
more
freedom in that aspect, because again, that's unfair to the other positions. But I do think that the rookie contracts should be a little bit higher than they are, based off of what the walk-in, like slot-in play now players. I think that those guys should have a higher ceiling for their contract, maybe another additional year.
Okay, that's right.
Let me ask you this. Or maybe like if player options were a bigger thing in the NFL. That's a huge thing in the NBA. So maybe like a player option.
Let me ask you this, Adam. You're a five-star running back in college football. It's your junior year of college. You could come out to the NFL based on how things work now. Obviously, in the world of NIL, would you stay in college, make the NIL money, or would you go to the pros?
Stay in college.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because depending on the player, you might make the same amount of money in college than go pro. You know, capitalize on the longevity. Make your money in college, then go to NFL and make your money there.
Do you think if college football did a one year and out thing like college basketball does, do you think that the play on the field would be amplified and better than it is now? Because guys are trying to go make a name for themselves in 1 year.
I'll be honest with you. I never understood that rule, what the difference is, why basketball is one, NFL it's two or three. I never understood that. Maybe if you know the answer to that, I would love for you to enlighten me because I don't. But honestly, I don't know. For me, and this is just me, one of the reasons why I don't watch college basketball all that much anymore, unless until it comes March Madness, is the notoriety. Because you have these big name team, you know, one of the things I liked, Adam, when you and I were growing up, well, I know you're a little bit older than me by a couple years, but same thing. These teams were awesome to follow because they stood together 2 or 3 years. And so you got to know the names and you got to become fans of them. Whereas now, if you're a Zion Williams or these other big name players, I mean, you're only going to be in college. You're only going to college because you have to. And basically it's hard, you know, they're just one and done. So it's hard to fall in love with a team that you know is only going to be together for 1 year. So
it's got to be a team that you follow, like,
right,
year in, year
right, and that's the thing. It is. I mean,
well, but I say that, but you're going to be a fan of USC this year, aren't you?
I mean, probably. But my problem, yeah, and that's my thing though, is unless you get a big notoriety player out there like a Zion Williams that brings a lot of attention, because there's not going to be every year we get this big awesome elite college basketball player that's surefire number one, and it's going to bring all this attention to college basketball. And so for that reason, unless you get one of those, you're not going to bring a lot of audiences to watching your product. So now on the NFL side, if we same thing, if they do that, you know, that's what I like about college football. You know, you get these big names, Heisman Trophy winner, let's say a Caleb Williams, exciting player. Let's say he was only USC for one year. Would you watch USC teams this upcoming year? You probably wouldn't. But now that you know that Caleb Williams is coming back this year because he has to, you know you're going to be watching USC games again because it's a player you're familiar with.
And yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with where you live too. Like, you're in Jayhawk.
I mean, that's true. I mean, West Coast games are already hard for someone.
Yeah, but
you're
in Jayhawk Nation right now. I mean, that's the state's team. Like,
well, not but not only that, but though, Adam, because
you live in Missouri, there's no pro team, so you're a Mizzou fan.
Well, I mean, no, that's true, but also, Adam, where we talk about where we live, you and I live in the Midwest, so if you want to watch a West Coast game, we're staying up to what, 10 o'clock at night,
you know, so
is
that late for you?
I mean, for me to watch a game, especially when you have two kids and a third one on the way. I'm going to take advantage of going to bed. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not always in bed by 10. You know, sometimes I'm playing video, but I'm going to say what an average college football game is, what, 2.5-3 hours? You're going to tell me I'm going to stay up till 1 o'clock to watch a team? Now, if it was the old school USC days of Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner, hell yeah, I'll do it.
If it was the Georgia Bulldogs, would you stay up?
No. Because because to be honest with you, I don't even like, unless it's like a big game against like Georgia, or they're playing another top five or top 10 team, they're playing Mizzou, I don't catch all the Georgia games as it is. And these games are coming at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So why would I stay up for 10, 11 o'clock at night? So that's just me. But I'm not as much as the diehard football fan as I used to be back in the day. I mean, fantasy football has a lot to do with that. I don't know. I don't know if I'd like college football implementing the same thing to basketball. That's just me.
I think you'd see a lot. I think the competition level would be increased by quite a bit, to be honest with you.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because you have players sitting out bowl games every year now, right? To get ready for the draft or whatever the case may be, or to keep their body healed.
I make the same decision too.
No, that never used to be a thing. You go if you.
Well, no, I know.
No. If you're on a team, you stick with that team from start to finish. You don't get to choose what games you sit out. It's bullshit.
I'm not.
No, you don't do that.
But I understand it though, because Adam, you have to think about this. Before the NIL deal, that was the only way you made money, is getting to the other league. Now I can see why you have a case to be mad, because okay, you're still getting your NIL money. And yet you're not playing with this, but you got to think about it. Before NIL, you're gambling with your future.
No, I'm sorry. If you start a season with a team and you play every game besides the most important game of the year, That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit.
I mean, I see you completely, and I don't disagree with you, but also I kind of get why
they would tell your sons that it's okay. Hey, you know, Luke, I know you're getting ready to play your biggest game of the season. You know, you got expectations through the roof. You don't have to play this game. Rest your body.
That's something
LeBron would say to his kid, obviously. So I get where you would probably say the same thing, but no, that's fucked up, dude. You make a bowl game, you play the bowl game.
But here's my thing, and I understand family have, you know, all that shit too. But also, you have an obligation to yourself. You have an obligation to your family. If you get hurt in a bowl game, and then somehow or another you got injured in your NFL career, is your teammates going to take care of you, take care of your family?
Then in college sports, set up an insurance policy on players and athletes.
I'm sure they did, but it's not enough to live off of.
Well, yeah, but make it based off of play on the field. If you exceed X type of numbers, if you finish top 20 in your position, up your value. Sure. That's an easy way to do that.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is I would probably just tell, you know, whatever decision that my son made, I would just trust that he's making the best decision, and I would ride with it.
You'd raise him to think that it's okay to do that.
I would raise him to be a man and make and stand by his own decisions, and to accept whatever consequence comes with those decisions.
Okay, you saved yourself there. That's a good dad answer.
So you know,
and I think that I'm not saying that you're not a good dad. So I want to
I didn't take it as that, but like
no, and then your son says I would not rest because I got to get the win.
Okay, and I would support that. All I'm saying is that by the time that you're 18, 19 years old, which is what a lot of these athletes are, in my opinion, and by society, you're deemed as an adult. So you're, in my opinion, and not only that, but you're out of my house, because that's the one thing that I always say to my kids, as long as you're under my roof, you go with my rules. So if you're out on your own and you're an adult, you can make that decision. But again, I'm going to let him know, son, this is what potential consequences are. This is what the people are going to think you're a quitter. You're going to think all these things you're pointing out, and you have to live with that. And as long as you can live with that, you know, do you, I'm going to be supporting you no matter what. But I absolutely 1000% agree with your reasoning. And I do, I just think that I would love for the NCAA to make that change for college, because to me it just never made sense for one rule for college football and another for college basketball. It makes no sense.
If you do that, all your accolades should be erased from the university.
Why? So if I win the Heisman Trophy,
because you're not supporting your team for the whole time. You're not supporting your team from start to finish. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. No. You can have your records that you set and all that crap.
So would you say, so based on that, what you're saying is me quitting on my team is just as egregious as me taking money from a booster?
No, two different things.
But you get your award stripped. So basically, in a way, you're saying they're kind of just as egregious. Two different
things. That's money coming in from advertising and networking. That's not money coming in.
But me sitting out is making sure that I get that revenue and all this stuff coming to me. If I'm injured, it's nothing. I'm protecting my assets. I'm protecting money coming my way.
That's why I said they should draw an insurance policy based off level of play.
And that's a great plan. That's a great plan. NIL is a start, so we'll see. So, all right, so let's end the show with a couple quick things to get your opinion on. So, Adam, real quickly, so obviously we talked about Bronny briefly. He had that cardiac arrest, you know, and seems like he's doing pretty good, as Adam pointed out, and I saw the video, he's playing piano. So shout out to him, full recovery. Let me ask you this, I saw this story about someone's thought about this. It's something, and thankfully nothing did, but let's say something had happened unfortunate for Bronny. I saw someone say that would have been, LeBron would have retired. Do you think he would have retired?
If that happened to LeBron?
If it would have went the other way on Bronny. like if something would have happened where Bronny had passed or something, someone came out with an article said that would have been a situation where they see LeBron would have retired.
No, I don't think so. I think LeBron still plays. I think he then channels that situation into his play and wins a championship that year.
Okay.
And then goes out on top. Because LeBron wants to go out on top. His whole – everyone's outside's perspective is he's got to pass who as the GOAT.
I mean, he already has.
He has not, but
– He already has, and he has nothing more to prove.
He doesn't have anything more to prove. You're right. I agree. He doesn't. He's already the second best player of all time. Like, no matter what, he's number two. But at the same point, no, I don't think he steps away from the game. I really don't. Unless his wife tells him, hey, this is what we need to do as a family, and they agree upon it as a family. I don't think if it's his decision and his wife supports him and his family and his friends support whatever decision he makes, he doesn't quit. He keeps playing.
I agree. With one more question, and I'm gonna end it. We always end the show with a question. Random question. I have one for you today. But so, Adam, any chance that the women's world team does not win the World Cup?
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, one for you, though, too. With Jaylen Brown being the first $300 million contract in NBA history, two-parter, did he deserve that money? And who's the first $400 million player?
And I know you, I think it's safe to say you're more of a fan than Jaylen Brown than Jason Tatum.
Yep. He's the best player on the team.
So I do. I mean, I don't think he's not worth that money. My question is, if that's what he got paid, what the hell is Jason Tatum going to get paid? So, that's going to be a lot of money. So you're going to be strapped cap with two players. So that's going to be, I mean, they're going to take up what 30-40% of the cap, just you two players alone. So I don't know. They're definitely in a win now situation because you're paying way too much money, or you will be paying too much money for your two superstars. You better start raising some banners.
Well, I know you saw the post about who they project. Experts project to be the first $400 million player.
Yep, that would be your boy Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that. He is an exciting player to watch. It's kind of crazy to think about where he started. I mean, he was with the Clippers before Paul George and them. And obviously, I mean, he wasn't even on the radar as far as like one of the best players in the league. He was no scrub, but he definitely was not on the level he is now. So to think that he could potentially be the first 400 kind of blows my mind.
Playing for a team in the middle of the country.
Right, and that's cool for you. I mean, you get a first-row seating of it being in OKC, so you get to go watch him, and that's all. I'm a little jealous of you. I wish I lived in an NBA city because I would definitely go see more. That's definitely a player. Like, I have a few players on a list of players I want to see, you know, LeBron being one. I want to see Giannis. I would love to see Luka. You know, now that Wimby's in the league, I'd like to go see all the hype behind Wimby. But Shai Gilgeous is up there too. And you know, you're only like 4 or 5 hours away from me. So that might be a trip to have to come down there and see sometime for sure. So yeah, I can see him. I'm trying to think about who else. I mean, I'm trying to think about some of these other superstars. I mean, I don't know, Kaluka maybe, Young. Or is he, huh?
Trae Young or Luka?
Not Trae Young. I don't think. It's not the Atlanta Hawks aren't going to pay him that money.
Joel?
And I think that because I think the only way you can get that type of money, don't you have to be with the original team? It's like
Bird Rights. You have to have the Bird Rights for that player.
And so
when the Thunder traded for Shai, they acquired the Bird Rights for him. Okay. So they can pay him more money than anyone else. The only one that can really get that and probably top that is probably Giannis. And Giannis is in a contract year. What? It's either next year or the year after.
I think it's this after this upcoming year.
No, it has to be 2 years because this would be the year coming up that Shai can make 400. Because if it was Giannis, they could make that. Everyone would be saying that Giannis is going to make that money.
Fair point. So it's definitely not
true. I think Giannis has a player option after this season. So that's where he could hit free agency.
Okay. It's definitely not Trae Young because there's already talks about them coming to an end in Atlanta. So that's not going to happen. So I think it'd be like someone like Gilgeous or a Giannis or something like that for sure. Let me ask you this question, Adam, in the show. You tagged me in this. So I'm just going to get your perspective on it, Adam. Obviously, you see all these NFL teams. They're going throwback uniforms. But I'm going to stick it on the NBA side just because you tagged me in it. What is your favorite all-time throwback jersey of all time?
That's an easy one for me. And I'm not even a fan of the team, but the first one in that picture, those Raptors throwback jerseys. Those are sick.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
I like those a lot. I like the if you ask me about the Thunder, I like the blue, the dark blue that has Thunder down the side here. I always like those uniforms for some reason. I like the Grizzlies from Vancouver. Those throwbacks, those are pretty fire. I even in like my 2K my team mode, I always roll with the Supersonics uniforms and the Supersonics like logos and everything. I always like Seattle's like logo and their uniforms. But if I'm going with teams that I watched and have seen in my lifetime, I like Toronto's uniforms the best. I like those Raptors uniforms with the Raptor on the front.
Yeah.
But and as much as it's going to hate me to say this, I really like those Miami all-white uniforms from when LeBron was there. Those were clean.
Yeah, those were pretty clean. I have to admit that. My favorite old-school jerseys, retro, you said the Grizzlies, but I kind of like – I like the – I'll just have to show you real quick. It's like the teal ones or whatever.
Yeah, that's the ones I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, those are my favorite. Anytime I play as the Memphis Grizzlies, I always go retro on those because I think those are the cleanest jerseys. I do like the old Detroit Pistons one because that's what I kind of grew up with, you know, Grant Hill and all that. I mean, there is something about that's pretty cool about the Sonics. I'll admit that.
Look up the Sonics, like 1950s, 1960s jerseys. They're a solid black and solid white. The black has white Sonics on the front. The white has black. I really like those a lot too, from a very old perspective.
Yeah, I don't know, but the Raptors. I don't know. There's something about the Raptors old school jersey that I always thought was kind of kiddish, like maybe like a kindergartner, first grader drew off. I'm like, yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah, until Vince Carter put it on.
That's true.
Vince was always Vince. He's always been one of my probably top 10 favorite players I've watched play. Always liked Vince Carter. He was also one of the reasons why when I play sports and my number that I choose to select is number 15. Obviously, there's one player that helped increase that a lot. Not Patrick Mahomes, but Carmelo.
Lord. So let me add, and just real quick, what was Vince Carter's nickname?
Vinsanity.
He also had another one.
I don't know it.
Half man, half amazing.
That was from the dunk contest, wasn't it? Like it was like his either rookie or his second year. One of the announcers said that after a dunk. I don't really consider that his nickname though. Like,
let me ask you this bonus question: what's your favorite nickname from an athlete?
Give me yours first.
I mean, I kind of always like T-Mac, Kmart. You know, those were the two biggest growing up. T-Mac. Kmart, you know, those are, that's Kenyon Martin. I mean, I liked all the self-proclaimed ones that Shaq gave himself, the Diesel. What else? The
Big Shaq.
Shaq, yeah, he gave himself some weird one. I mean, obviously, I like LeBron with the King.
You know what, though? It'd be biased for me not to say this one. If you look up above where your camera's at and look at the title of our podcast, I always like the Birdman. Yeah, did you see that thing I posted you where he's like banned from? He's one of 17 players banned from the NBA.
There was a couple that I was actually surprised by. I was like, "What?"
But I always like Melo. I'm biased. I like the
Birdman. Is that like really a nickname? I mean, it's just an abbreviation of his name.
Hey, Brody.
I mean,
is Agent it really? Zero was pretty cool though for Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas, that was a good one. Who else?
Flash for D-Wade. That's not bad.
Flash has to be another favorite one. I will say that. Flash is a great one. And that was by Shaq.
You want to know my least favorite?
And also, real quick, I like the Greek Freak with Giannis.
I do like that one.
Okay, what's your least?
The Truth.
Oh, fucking Paul George.
Because the truth is, that motherfucker can't jump this high off the ground. And everyone thinks he's one of the greatest players of all time.
He's not even one of the greatest Celtics of all time.
No, I agree.
I cannot stand Paul Pierce. Every time that boy opens his mouth, it just Where
do you go to college?
He went to KU, and so that has something to do with it.
I mean, okay, Air Jordan too. I mean that.
Yeah, and then Clyde the Glide. That's an awesome one.
Hakeem the Dream.
Anyway, yep, exactly. The Admiral, the Big Fundamental.
That's the Big Ticket.
We can go on and on, but Adam. But I appreciate you. You know, again, I want to apologize for my weather issues last night. Obviously, it's beyond my control. I appreciate you being willing to jump on here a second night to redo everything. I just felt like I said we have to give the fans a full show, a full polished show, not a half. So, but I appreciate it. I think this was actually, I kind of think this was a. Turned out to be a little bit better episode than we put together last night. So, I appreciate Adam. I appreciate those who all tune in on YouTube and on Facebook. And again, if you're watching this, you haven't done so already, you go to our page on YouTube, the No BS Podcast 23. Subscribe to it so you can stay up to date on all of our videos.
And you know, shout out to the Crabtree family because Rob, this would be the first episode where you didn't give your wife Shelby a shout out. So I'm going to do that for you so you don't forget about that.
Yeah, and then shout out to my wife.
Luke has been active in the chat, even though he's still – I don't agree with half of what he says. But having Luke on was a fun episode too because that dude is he stands by his word, and he has no shame.
He does.
I respect that.
We'll get him on a show another time. And so anyway, stay tuned for next show. We're going to be talking about the NFC West. And if I remember correctly, Adam actually has a guest to join us.
Got a big, big, big San Fran fan.
Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to talk to him. I have a couple guests coming up whenever it comes to talk about the Chiefs. So I can't wait for that as well. So
when we cover our divisions, we need to have another person on that is not a fan of one of our teams.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to find out. Actually, no, I do know someone who's a Tampa fan. So
I'm talking about you Ravens fans. I know a lot of you. You guys rubbing in my face. come on, let's talk about some Ravens football.
All right. Well, I can't wait for that. And like I said, I may have to reach out to my Ravens fan or my Bucks fan. So
yeah, anyway, I don't want any Bengals fans. You all haven't been relevant for that long, and you're all fake fans and jumped on the bandwagon. I like the Bengals, but
you can say that about Chiefs fans too, in my opinion. But
Chiefs fans are loyal, dude.
Anyway, we appreciate you all for watching us live. Adam and I greatly appreciate all the support. And Adam and I will catch you guys on the next show of No BS. So I'm Rob, that's the Birdman. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace.